choir. Thank you. Congregation, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Song we sang before our offertory reminds me, as you know, it comes from Psalms 23, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. It reminds me of a little lad, little joke about a little lad, but I can't recall the full joke of it. But I remember the story is that he either was fearful or either he was comforted because he had three ladies following him: Shirley, Gladness, and Marcy. All the days of his life, when he read Psalms 23, he was one of those. Ephesians chapter 4. If you're able to, I'm going to ask you to stand as we read a few verses from God's Word this morning. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Notice what God says. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. Your translation may say other Gentiles. In the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. But if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Father, bless your word. In Christ's holy name, amen. Please be seated. This morning, I want to talk about walking in this world as we do. And as I shared a little bit with in the children's message about the difference. Obviously, the world walks one way and lives another way and believes another way. And God wants you and I to be circumspect, to be different, to be holy as he is holy. And there are many, many passages that tell us that. And the whole principle, understanding of this Christian life, is to live a different life, to live differently. He wanted the Israelites to live differently. That's why he gave them a set of laws, Mosaic laws, and all the other things that he gave them, so they would be a different nation and a different people. And you and I know that God wants us to. And so this morning I want to encourage you in several areas. You're doing what you feel is God wants you to do, but you have people around you that you know are struggling. Perhaps they did trust Jesus. Perhaps they did come to the Lord at one time in their life. But maybe, you know, only God knows the heart, but maybe they're in this boat that we're going to see today. Maybe they're not completely the world. Maybe they are a believer, but they've just kind of migrated into the thorns and the thickets of this world, and it's kind of snuffed them away, kind of drowned them out a little bit, and you can't really tell if they're saved anymore or not, because they're equal in their lifestyle, the way they live. And Paul is going to address that today with the Ephesian church. And so, you know, before we talk about that, at some point in life, you perhaps got lots of exercise. Any of you ever do that? You always do a lot of running or a lot of, I don't know, walking or whatever. I know we have someone in the church that walks 3 miles a day and cuts a cord of wood every day. Brother Jerry does. I don't know how he does it. And I get more exercise at work than I've ever had at a job before. But this is good for me. But it reminds me of all the walking and exercising people get of a young man. He was in a park. He was walking around a park. And he noticed this young lady. And he he saw her, she was sitting on a bench, and he was just walking by, and he wanted her to notice him. And so he walked by her, and he looked at her a little bit, but he kept walking. She just ignored him, and he walked by her again. He turned around, came back the third time. And she glanced up a little bit. He came by the fourth time, believe it or not. And she said, "I'm sorry if it looks like I'm ignoring you, but I'm reading a book." And he said, "Do you mind me asking what you're reading about?" And she said, "Yeah, it's okay. I'm reading about my perfect mate, my ideal, someone that I want to marry one day and spend the rest of my life with. I'm reading about that ideal person." And this guy said, "Well, would you tell me what the ideal person is?" And she said, "Yes. According to this book, the ideal person is of two nationalities, is Indian and Hispanic." And she said, "What is your name?" And he says, "My name is Tonto Hernandez." Anyway, we do anything sometimes to get by in this life. But this passage today, I want you to know, this passage of Scripture reminds us how you and I are to walk. We're to walk distinctly, differently from the world. Paul tells us there's two kinds of walks for Christians, and I want to touch on those today. The first one is, we see here, the old man and the new man, how to walk. The carnal walk is what he talks about. Notice in verse 17 through verse 19, he touches on the phrase. He says, "Walk not as the rest of the Gentiles," or "walk not as other Gentiles." He's talking to the Gentile church. The Ephesus church is a Gentile church, and he's talking to believers. He's not talking to unbelievers. He's not talking to the world. He's talking to Christians here today, and he says we should not walk the same way as lost people walk. And he lists a few things there. He says some walk in the vanity, he says in the text, or the futility of their mind. You know, we see vanity everywhere in society. It's everywhere. It's just, the world is just so vain. It's just so futile. We know it's passing away. We know it's fleeting. We know that it's here today and gone tomorrow, and all these things are temporary. And we put our, and people put their, all of their entire stock in life in temporary things. We know that, but the world don't know that. The world don't understand vanity. Obviously, the wisest man that ever lived, other than the Lord Jesus, talked about vanity a good bit. Solomon did. He said everything is vanity. Really, even wisdom is vanity apart from the Lord Jesus. And so everything is. You know, vanity is a sin. It's a horrible sin. And it's actually listed in Proverbs as one of the seven sins that God hates. Vanity is when we're obsessed over beauty, when we're obsessed over appearance, when we're obsessed over clothing, having things, having the best job, making the most money, knowing the right people. All of this stuff that is temporary is vanity. A lot of folks have created a false image of themselves in this world. They have carnal minds. They walk carnally. They live their lives around this physical world, and that's what is important to them. Paul says that lost people walk in the vanity of their minds, and Paul says, the scriptures say, that God doesn't want us to walk that way. He doesn't want us to look like we're of the world too, because the world walks in the vanity of their minds. Not only that, it says in the text, but they have their understanding, it says there in verse 17 through 19, they have their understanding darkened. The world does. They don't understand. We wonder sometimes, how can they not see that a little baby inside a mother's belly that's kicking around when you watch a sonogram or whatever, how can they not see that that's a precious child that just can't come from some primordial slime pit and just poof, one day it's here, but God had to make that and God had to fashion us? How can they not see that? I would think one of the answers would be right here. Because their understanding is darkened. That's the way the world is. God said that's how they're going to see things. They're going to see it darkened. They're not going to see it in light, as we see it, because we have the light of the world. We have the Lord Jesus. Their understanding is darkened. Remember, Paul is addressing Christians here, Gentile Christians, just like you and I, not to walk as the world, not to have our understanding, not to let our understanding be darkened, not to be influenced by liberal theologians and others that try to influence us, not to let us be influenced by the television and all those darkened people on the television that are pushing media and all this other stuff in our brain, trying to tell us about evolution and about society and what we're doing wrong and how bad God is and the Bible is and all of that. Their understanding is darkened, so we're not to follow. Allow them to influence us. We're not to walk the carnal walk as the world does, because they can't see things clearly. Kind of reminds me of an elderly woman who has trouble seeing things. As we get older, we have trouble, don't we? Seeing things. Some of you may have 20/20 vision still, but I'm losing some of my vision as I get a little older too, and so I understand what it's like. And there was a little story about a lady who had lost her vision. She had three sons, and her 80th birthday was coming up. And they wanted to do something special for Mom's birthday. And so they all three got together and they decided what each one of them was going to do. And one of them, he built a house for her. He built a big house for her and for his mom. And the second son, he bought her a Mercedes and gave her a driver so she could be driven around wherever she wanted to go. And the third son, he said, I know Mom a little bit better than you guys. She used to go to church pretty faithful, and when she could see, and she liked reading her Bible and so on. And so I'm going to give Mom a parrot. And this parrot, he's going to be trained by 12 elders in the church, and the deacons and the elders are going to train this bird, Brother Bill. I may get you a parrot. We're going to get a parrot, and we're going to train him to, anytime Mom brings up a passage of Scripture, if you tell the reference, the bird will tell you what the verse is. And so that's what happened. One gave a house, one gave a Mercedes and a driver, and one son gave a parrot. Well, a few weeks later, the birthday came, and sometime later, the birthday came, and Mom, afterwards, Mom sent out thank you letters to her sons. She said to the first son, "Son, thank you so much for the large house you've given me, but it's really too big. I have to clean every room, but I only live in one. But thank you anyway." She said to the second son, "Thank you for the Mercedes. I don't get out anymore since I can't see. I don't get out. And the driver you gave me, he's very, very rude. But thank you anyway." And then she said to her last son, "Thank you. You know me better than anybody else, better than my other two sons. Thank you for giving me that delicious chicken." We do that, don't we? Maybe we're like Milton and Carnal, the two brothers that gave the house and the Mercedes. Maybe they were a little bit too carnal. We sometimes, we have to be very careful, dear friends, brothers and sisters. We have to be careful not to walk in darkness, not to allow ourselves to be pulled into darkness by this world and have our understanding darkened. Notice what verse 18 says. Look at Ephesians 4:18. It says, "Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart." So we have to be extremely careful or we will be blind to what is righteous, is what is pure and holy. And you probably have family, and I do too, that used to love God, used to be faithful, used to be dedicated, but now they carnally walk. They're just walking in vanity. Are they saved? If they were, they're still saved if they really were saved. Only God knows the heart again. But if they are, they're completely out of walk, out of step with God. Paul is talking to Christians here that can fall into those circumstances. But there's a third thing that we see in that text. In verse 19 it says, look at what verse 19 says. They're given to lasciviousness, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. We don't use that word lasciviousness anymore. It's hard to even say that word, isn't it? But they have, it really just means evil. Giving themselves over to evil. God uses the word past feeling. I thought that's pretty good here. He gives us past feeling, which means people use their feelings to make decisions. Feelings to decide, well, my cousin decided he didn't like what God wanted, or he wanted to choose this lifestyle. Maybe it's okay. Or my child chose this lifestyle. No. If one of my children decided to go into the, for say, homosexual lifestyle, it's not going to change me. I'm not going to change what God's word says. I'm not going to let my feeling determine my theology. I'm going to stand on God's word. Amen. He has to stand on his two legs, and I have to stand before my holy and righteous God just as well. And so, if you know, we don't let others influence what we believe. We let God influence us. But yet we see a lot of preachers, a lot of leaders in churches and stuff all over the country. They'll have a family member going in the wrong direction, and then they'll change their understanding because they go by feeling. And Paul talks about that. He's addressing Christians who have chosen to walk carnally. They don't have any feeling for God anymore. They have feeling for the world, for their flesh, and for the temporary things of this life. You know, walking carnally is very dangerous because it'll lead us to do things you and I would never do when we don't do that. When we do have feelings for God instead of no feelings for God. The church of Ephesus, again, was a Gentile church. And Paul was writing to Gentile Christians, telling them they should not walk as the rest of the Gentiles or other Gentiles. Why? Because they're born again. He's telling them, you're born again. Why? You're a new man. You're a new woman. Why are you walking this way? You and I may have people in our family that God wants us to share and say, you remember 10 years ago? You remember 20 years ago when you walked down the aisle and you gave your life to Jesus? You were a new man. If you really did that, if that was true, then you need to walk that way again. You need to get back on track. And so, you know, obviously, as Brother Bill prayed, God puts people in our lives so we can help them see that even Christians, not just lost people, Christians, that they need to get back on track. And so perhaps that is what God's trying to remind us of here, that we're to be mindful and always on guard not to live or walk carnally. Let me give you the other side, which is the side God wants you and I to live on, the Christian walk, and we're not perfect. So obviously we're going to struggle, we're going to stumble, sometimes it's going to appear that we're not as faithful as we should be because we're not perfect, but the Christian walk. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 20 talks about that, how you and I are to walk. He mentions that here in the text. You know, we speak of the Christian walk quite a bit. And God wants you and I to live our lives daily as Christ lived his. We have an example. We have the example of the Lord Jesus. And so Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20 speaks of that. Look at it. Look at it with me as I find my text again. Look at what verse 20 says. It says, "But you have not so learned Christ, if you indeed you have heard him and been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." Notice what verse 22 says again. It says that we have something, dear brothers and sisters, we have something every day to put off. Put off. We put off our attitude. We put off our frustration. We put off our bitterness. We put off our unforgiveness. We put off our anxiety. We put off our worry. Whatever it is, we put it off every day. If we just put it off today on Sunday and forget it till next Sunday, it's going to be a long week for us. It's going to be very difficult. And so we put off. Paul's telling the Christians, put it off. And we know that we have to do it every day, because each morning brings something new. Each day brings something new. We didn't know that what's going to happen tomorrow. We have no idea how bad it's going to be. So we've got to be ready. How do we get ready? We get ready. We put it off. If we start feeling worried about something, we ask God to help us. We put it off almost every night. I would say when I get home from work, my clothes are wet, I'm stinking, and I am filthy. And so I have to put it off. We have to do it too in this Christian walk every single day. And I love what verse 24 says. He doesn't just tell us to put it off. He tells us to put something on. Verse 24, he says, put on the new man. Put on the new woman. Put on the one who's trusted Jesus. And again, that's encouragement to those in your family that you talk to, or those of your peers, or those that you're trying to witness to, for them to put it on. They say, what do I do? Put it on. Put this off and put that on. Be the man God wants you to be. Be the woman God wants you to be. The Christian is referred to, obviously we know, in verse 24, as the new man. New person, new creature. In contrast to the old man in verse 22. How do we do this? We do it to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Starts in our mind. We say, God, I'm gonna walk with you today. I'm gonna trust you today. When I get anxiety, when I get stressed, when I get worried, when I get frustrated, I'm gonna turn it over to you. I'm not gonna let the world dominate me. I'm not gonna let the temporary things of this world that are consuming, I'm not gonna let them consume me. I pray that you, every single day, as you go through this life and all these struggles and all of these cares of this world, that you will put those things off and you'll put on the new man. Let's pray. Father, help all of us today to do these two simple things in verse 22. To put it off, and what you tell us in verse 24, to put on. Lord, help us to be those kind of people every single day. Help us to teach our children and grandchildren and our neighbors and our cousins and whoever else, Lord, we have influence around, that they need to be doing the same. If they want to follow you, if they want to obey you, if they want to trust you, Lord. Because everything else is vanity. Lord, may we not be walking around as vanity Christians, but may we be walking around as spirit-filled Christians with a renewing of our mind, focused on you and righteousness and holiness and those things. Lord, I love you and thank you for these precious people. Lord, if there's one today that's or more that stumbled a little bit, their toe, and they've kind of gotten off track, and they have kind of allowed themselves to get more focused on the physical instead of the spiritual. And they've kind of dropped the ball on their physical, on the spiritual side of life, Lord. And they have become carnal. May they repent of that right where they sit and cry out to you for forgiveness and put it off and put on righteousness that you've given them, Lord, because you've saved them and you've changed them. And may they put on that new man, that new woman that you want them to be. We love you, Lord, and we praise you. In Christ's holy and righteous name, amen.